mostly right.
It's still right twice a day.
Right.
Okay.
No, keep doing that.
No. Very
routine. It's all good. It's all good. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. We'll call this meeting of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to order.
Do we need to do a roll call?
Everybody ready to go? We can do a quick roll call here just to make sure that we've got everyone on the line. So here in person, we've got myself, we have Commissioner Fiskum, Commissioner Starr. Great to see both of you gentlemen this morning. And on the line, do we have Commissioner Mason with us?
I'm here.
Great. Commissioner Burke?
I'm here.
Okay. And let's see, who else do we... We have our newest commissioner, Commissioner Hollister. Okay. Very good. Well, Commissioner O'Day, are you on the line?
Here.
Doesn't appear so.
Commissioner O'Day, do we have you with us? Okay. Well, he may join us later. So, all right. Well, let's get started. First thing is comments from the chair, and I just want to say that I want to welcome our newest colleague, Commissioner Hollister, to our commission. We really appreciate you being here. Glad to have you on board. And welcome. Okay. So everybody has received the packet, and we'll move along to approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Hopefully everyone's had an opportunity to peruse those. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the minutes?
You're doing well?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
Move approval.
All right. So moved. I don't think we need a vote on that. So we are good. Minutes are approved. So we will then dive into the consent calendar here, items 3 through 8. Do any commissioners want anything removed from the consent calendar? Hearing nothing.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
All right. So moved by Commissioner Burke. Thank you. All right. All in favor of approving the consent calendar, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So approved. All right. With that, then, we are going to jump around a bit this morning, and we'll now move into executive session to consider preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244.2604D and ORS 192.6851. And for purposes of efficiency this morning, we're going to take matters 46 through 59 together. So these are the folks for the Oregon State Board of Bar Examiners. We are going to call them all in a bunch. I know a number of them want to be on the line, so just give our staff a second here to get everybody on the line.
Who is dialed in under 7188?
Okay.
So we have Amy. We need to get this one. Yes. Lisa is on.
All right. And Commissioner Hollister, I'll give you a chance to speak here in just a bit once we actually get things moving here.
Shelly, okay. And we need to.
Why are you removing people?
Because we're in executive session under this, and they are not part of the case. So Diane, you're texting on top. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Great. Me too.
All
programs. To give people the option to call in or use Skype.
So we're just texting people to call us?
To join the meeting.
Ones that aren't already here. Other side.
Very kind, thank you.
You're welcome.
I got you covered, Dave.
I've got a non-COVID cough, just for the record.
Oh, okay. I want to know. We appreciate it.
Out of dust on the golf course.
Exactly. It's pretty dry out here.
It's pretty dry.
Except for yesterday morning.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. That was nice. That was very nice.
So 5289, I don't know what the number that is. Oh, Sean, okay.
He's there now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Sean O'Day
is now joining.
So I've got online texting and okay. Texted.
So
and email, we're just waiting.
Good to hear from you.
Dave, good to hear from you too, Dave. How are you doing?
It's Rich, actually, but, you know, Dave's closed.
Oh, I can tell you on your cell phone in the car, it sounded like the even system there at the beginning. So, hey, Rich, good to hear your voice.
They're calling in now.
Yeah.
All right.
My apologies to the lady, but I had the wrong conference ID number of questions in my calendar appointment this morning.
Oh,
so thanks again, Kathy, for calling to get me straight.
Not a problem, Commissioner O'Day. We're happy to have you with us. So at this point, Commissioner, we have called items 46 through 59 of the executive session. We're just waiting to get some folks on the line here before proceeding.
Unknown participant is now joining.
4-7.
Great, thank you.
Hey, Commissioner O'Day. Just by way of catching you up, the consent agenda
and minutes have been approved. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay. Shelby has to wait. Okay, so we're waiting on. Caroline Wong. The Honorable Kelly Sky and Michael Slauson.
Shelby Nielsen is one.
She's with the other.
She's the one I wrote it off.
She's with this case.
38, agenda 38.
Are we waiting on Kendra Matthews as well?
No, Kendra Matthews is on.
Okay.
She said, well, she says she's dialing in right now. She responded to that.
This is Lisa, Kristen, and I can barely hear anybody. This is getting kind of glitchy, so Monica, I'm wondering if I should just call in.
If that's what you feel, go ahead, yes, if you think that would be better. I have you up there actually twice.
We don't have a phone here.
Oh. Well, she can call, use the call in through Skype. Connection.
She can call
instead
the Skype.
Of Skype.
Okay.
She just used the call.
I thought she
in.
Meant the phone.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So, Caroline Wong, Honorable Kelly Sky, and Michael Slauson.
Okay. Have they indicated that they're going to be appearing?
They have not indicated either way, but I do have Kendra Matthews, she's in now,
yes.
So okay.
Okay. Yeah,
no, they have not indicated. I
okay.
don't have any messages.
Well, yeah. Well, if they join us, then we can.
Oh, Michael Slauson's up there as a guest.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So we have Slauson now.
Coming. Yeah.
Okay. So if Caroline Wong or Kelly Sky does join us, that's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we will go ahead and get started. So before we do, Commissioner Hollister, go ahead. Okay, let's hold you right there. Let me stop you right there. Is it your voice is not coming through clearly?
Sped up.
Okay. It sounds like you're on helium.
Or Minnie Mouse.
Or Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Oh, well, that
that's not funny.
It is, though. You can't see me smiling behind the mask.
Put my mask on, so now I can smile.
And Commissioner Hollister, what we could do, if need be, is we could also have you call in if we're not able to work out the tech glitches on the computer side.
Do you have that phone number?
Okay. All right. So we'll give you.
She has a number.
She has a number. Okay. Great. So we'll give you just a second here. All right.
I promise she does not sound like that in real person.
There's something with her computer. That's a synthesizer going on.
Mark, it looks like we have some more folks in the lobby.
Thank you. 0447, okay, so that was one we admitted before. I don't know who 4149 is.
Could be Commissioner Hollister.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Could be.
Kendra Matthews, Board of Bargain,
is now joining.
If she is joining by phone, but I don't have that number.
We could ask. Amber, does your phone number end in 4149?
1534.
No. Oh.
She's
okay.
1534 up there as guest.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so we need to ask who entered under 4149?
Sky is now joining.
Good morning, this is Amber Hollister.
Okay, so she's good too.
Amber Hollister is
it's Honorable Kelly Sky.
Yes,
Commissioner Hollister.
Yes.
We can hear you now, and we're relieved that that's not your real voice. Okay. All right. Well, go right ahead.
All right. I'm announcing a conflict of interest for the matters just announced related to my employment at the Oregon State Bar and my attendance at part of one of the meetings.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we appreciate you stating that for the record. And for the record as well, I am going to announce a potential conflict of interest in regard to items 46 through 59 insofar as Two of the respondents are judges in Multnomah County Circuit Court. My office does have cases in that circuit court, though I do not have any active cases to my knowledge in front of either Judge Skye or Judge Lucero. So I don't believe there's any actual conflict, but just out of an abundance of caution, I wanted to go ahead and note that for the record. Are there any other announcements of any potential conflicts or actual conflicts from any of the other commissioners? Okay. All right. Hearing none. I want to thank everybody who is on the line with us. I appreciate you bearing with us in this world of COVID where we're trying to do everything remotely. I appreciate your patience. This is the time for us to hear the matter regarding the Oregon State Board of Bar Examiners. There are a number of folks we have here on the line. I have Judge Lucero. I have Joanna Abbott, Cassandra McLeod Skinner, Judge Kelly Skye, Misha Isaac, Kendra Matthews, and Michael Slauson. So we appreciate all of you being with us here this morning. So you understand.
I just like to, if any of those folks have an objection to being heard all together,
yes,
I'd like them to speak up now. Okay. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and do it because they are all able to have their own confidential hearing if they'd like.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Mr. Burson. I do appreciate that. So, yes, if any of the respondents who are on the line wish to have their matter heard separately, go ahead and let us know at this point. All right. Hearing none, then I want to also let the commissioners know that for conflict reasons, we actually have an outside attorney who will be assisting us this morning. That is Emily Matazar. So we appreciate Ms. Matazar being with us on the line here via Zoom. And so any questions that we have for our counsel would be directed to her for these matters this morning. So for the respondents who are on the line, how this is going to work logistically is we're going to begin with a staff report, and the commission's investigator will report to us on the facts of this case, and then we may have some questions for her. At that point, we will then turn it over to any of you. If any of you would like to speak, we can just go through, and if any of you have any comments, you can add those for the record, and we may have some follow-up questions for you. And then after that, the commissioners are going to deliberate amongst ourselves. You are free to remain for that portion of it. You can listen to our deliberations. And then we will be deciding today not whether there's been any sort of violations, but rather whether we wish to proceed to a full investigation to give our staff a more opportunity and more time to further look into the facts of the case. So with that, unless anyone has anything they'd like to say preliminarily in terms of an objection or questions on that, we can proceed. Okay. So with that then, investigator, Lisa Christman.
Thank you, Chair Sosa. And again, if I suddenly blip out, if someone could just hold up a sign and let me know. I was trying to get on this call since 8:45, and it keeps glitching. Sometimes I can't hear everything, and I can't get my video to work. So having said that, I'm going to proceed with the synopsis of the case, and just to point out that there are 14 BBX Board of Bar Examiner members. So the synopsis I'm providing is applicable to everybody. I just want to point out that Mr. Bofferding, case number 20-155, was not present at the May 15th, 2020 executive session. Sessions, there were two on that day. Stephanie Tuttle, case number 20-156, was not present at the April 17th, 2020 executive session. Absent that, these are mirror image cases. The respondents are members of the Oregon State Bar Board Examiners. The complaint was filed by Bill Harbaugh, a professor at University of Oregon, and alleges that respondents may have violated executive session provisions of Oregon Public Meetings Law by participating in executive sessions when the board discussed unauthorized topics and or failed to satisfy a statutory prerequisite. Information available to staff indicates there may have been no appropriate statutory authority announced prior to
Yes, Ms. Christian, go ahead.
Okay, to the Board of Bar Examiners, entering executive sessions of the April 17th and May 15th, 2020 meetings of the Board of Bar Examiners. There were three meetings total at issue here, although Mr. Harbaugh alleged that there was a violation at the June meeting. There was no executive session at that meeting, although I did include it in the report for your review. The April 17th, there was one executive session entered into. May 15th, there were two executive sessions entered into. To sum up, there was no statutory authority, no under 192.660.2 that was identified as required under ORS 192.660.1 and the Oregon Administrative Rule. Although an exemption does exist for bar exam information and records under 192.345 subsection 4, formerly 192.501 subsection 4, which appears to meet the requirements of permissible executive session purposes under ORS 192.660.2F, which speaks to matters exempt from public disclosure, the prerequisite for convening an executive session is found at 192.660.1. Which, per again, the OAR must happen prior to convening. That didn't happen at any of the three executive sessions at issue. The report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move investigation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for Ms. Christie? Okay. All right. Hearing none, then. Do any of the respondents wish to add anything? And if you'd like, I can go through each of you one by one, but why don't we see how many people want to comment, and then if there's a number of you, we can just go through systematically.
Hi, this is Angela Lucero. I'm a Multnomah County Circuit Court judge and currently the chair of the Board of Bar Examiners. And so I intend to make a few remarks, as do my colleagues Misha Isaac and Kendra Matthews. Okay. So I guess I'll kick us off. So on behalf of the BBX, I want to thank the commission and Commissioner Chair Sosa for granting the BBX the opportunity to make some brief remarks today. I do want to acknowledge that I have a docket that was supposed to start at 9. I pushed it, so I have a few minutes, so I may have to drop off this call a little bit early. I apologize, but I did want to go ahead and attend what I could this morning. I know that the names of the BBX members that are currently present were announced, but I do want to acknowledge that there are some members that were unable to be with us today due to previously scheduled work conflicts, and that is Todd Boffering, Ernest Warren, Stephanie Tuttle, Lissa Kaufman, Dr. Richard Colbell, and Dr. Randall Green. So those are the other members of the BBX, apart from those that were named earlier. We want to acknowledge the BBX wants to recognize the work of the commission and the important function that the commission serves in ensuring that government officials and boards are following the state ethics and open meeting laws. We understand and appreciate the importance of this work and the efforts, and each of us on the Board of Bar Examiners is committed to serving the public through our work with the BBX, and we intend to do so, and it is always our effort to do so in an ethical and legal manner. And we want to convey to the commission that we take this matter very seriously, and we take our ethical and legal obligations to the community as members of the Board of Bar Examiners extremely seriously. For those of you that are not familiar with the Board of Bar Examiners, as previously mentioned, we're comprised of 14 volunteer members appointed by the Oregon Supreme Court, and the function of the BBX is to assist the Oregon Supreme Court in fulfilling its regulatory function in ensuring that applicants to the Oregon State Bar possess the requisite legal knowledge, good moral character, and fitness to practice law here in Oregon. And in doing this and assisting the court, we kind of work in four different ways. So the first thing that many people know that we do is we are in charge of grading the Oregon Bar Exam, but we also work together with the Oregon State Bar to assist in the administration and evaluation of the bar administration itself. We also have a quasi-judicial function in that we're responsible for the investigation and evaluation of the moral character and fitness of each applicant who applies to be a member of the Oregon State Bar. And as part of that function, oftentimes this includes conducting evidentiary hearings of applicants in accordance with the Oregon Rules of Admission. And then lastly, we make recommendations to the Oregon Supreme Court regarding any given applicant's qualifications to practice in the state. And so recognizing our role as a public body, we strive to do as much of our work as possible under the watchful eye of the public. But because of the nature of the work that we do and the highly sensitive nature of the information with regards to future bar administrations and the examination itself, it is often times necessary that we enter into executive session. It is also necessary that we hold a portion of our meeting in judicial proceedings to deal with the character and fitness investigations. During our meetings, we exercise public records and meeting exemptions to discuss the content, as I indicated earlier, of future bar exams, and to ensure that we are maintaining the integrity of the future bar exams and complying with the rules of confidentiality bestowed upon us by the Oregon Rules of Admissions. So, again, it's necessary from time to time that we enter into executive session not only to discuss bar examination topics, but also to receive legal advice and review legal documents with General Counsel Amber Hollister, and previous to her would have been our the bar's CEO, Helen Hirschfield. So while non-members rarely attend our meetings, we are vigilant about expressly stating when we are entering into executive session. And the reasons why we are moving into executive session. And once in executive session, we are careful to discuss only matters that fall within the executive session exemption. And then lastly, when we are leaving executive session, moving out of executive session, we make it very clear that we're going back into public session and invite any members of the public that would have been attending the meeting to return. And so I know that there are two specific dates in, that are brought up through this investigation or complaint, and that's the April 17th, 2020 meeting and the May 15th, 2020 meeting. As chair of the Board of Bar Examiners, I would like to advise that the commission that I specifically recall abiding by this system. It's our practice to routinely follow the guidelines and spirit of the law. And so at this point, I do want to go ahead and turn it over to my colleague, Misha Isaac.
Thank you, Judge Lucero. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Misha Isaac. As Judge Lucero just said, I'm a volunteer member of the Oregon Board of Bar Examiners. I'm also a partner at the Perkins Coie Law Firm, and until recently I was general counsel in the governor's office, where I frequently gave legal advice on compliance with the public records and public meetings laws. I just want to address you today for a brief moment to bring your attention to the very narrow and technical issue that the investigator's report turns on. As you all know, the public records and public meetings laws are legally complex. As the investigator just summarized her report quickly and with a lot of statutory citations, and so I think it's in substance important that everybody track that really the investigator is saying something quite legally technical and narrow. A complaint was filed with a commission against the Board of Bar Examiners that made two allegations. First, that notices of our public meetings did not state the statutory authority for our executive sessions. And second, that the topics we had discussed in executive session were not authorized by the public meetings law. Your investigator has conducted a preliminary review and is recommending an investigation, but for reasons different than the complaint. So I've now read the preliminary review several times, including once again this morning, and as I understand it, the investigator is not faulting the board for going into executive session for impermissible reasons. The report, its plain text, explicitly agrees, at least preliminarily, that we went into executive session for permissible reasons. Instead, the investigator appears to be faulting the board for failing to recite aloud in our meeting the exact statutory citation authorizing the executive session. In other words, as we understand the investigator's reading of the public meetings law, the governing body violates the law if the chair of the meeting says something like, we are now going into executive session to receive attorney-client privilege advice from our counsel. According to the investigator, to comply with the public meetings law, the meeting's chair must utter the words, pursuant to ORS 192.6602H, in order to comply with the law. Now, I don't need to put anybody on the commission on the spot here, but I was listening closely to the words uttered by your own chair as you all went into executive session this morning, and I have to confess my audio was coming in and out, but I actually didn't hear your chair recite the words that the investigator apparently says are required when the governing body of a public body goes into executive session. So, to summarize this, I understand your investigator's report, her recommendation turns on just whether Judge Lucero correctly verbalized the statute number. Because, as Judge Lucero just said, she does, as our chair, every time we go into executive session, state in substance the basis for going into executive session and what we were discussing in executive session. And I have to say that, you know, in 5 years of giving advice about the public records and meetings laws in the governor's office, I have never heard the statute interpreted in this way. And in my opinion, this exceedingly formalistic reading is at odds with Oregon's citizen government, where we have literally hundreds of public bodies in this state, most of which are made up of citizen volunteers, including us and including you all. Now, don't get me wrong, we have great respect for the public meetings law, and every member of the Oregon Board of Bar Examiners to a person believes strongly, strongly in the law's commitment to transparent and open government. But again, what's at issue today is apparently not whether the Board of Bar Examiners went into executive session to discuss something that should have been discussed in the open. What's at issue today, as I understand it, is whether our chair, Judge Lucero, uttered the precise words that the investigator has said she should have uttered. While we don't think reciting the statutory citation is strictly required by the statute, we are always willing to adopt best practices, and our chair has already begun to read a script at our meetings before going into executive session to comply with the investigator's recommendation. I'll also add that members of the public rarely attend our meetings, as Jeff Lucero mentioned in her remarks, and there were no members of the public at the two meetings at issue here. So in fact, no one was actually excluded from our meetings, and no members of the public were even present to hear the words that Judge Lucero did or didn't say when we went into executive session. I know that the commission sometimes departs from the recommendations of its investigators at this stage, especially where the alleged violation is non-substantive, as, for example, you wisely did a few months ago with a complaint against then-Deputy Secretary of State Rich Vile. The members of the Board of Bar Examiners would respectfully request that you please do the same here and dismiss the complaint that's been brought against us. I think that Kendra Matthews had some concluding remarks.
Before we get to Ms. Matthews, Mr. Isaac, I do want to address something with you. You said that it's according to the investigator, we're supposed to read the basis of the executive session. That's just for your clarification, that's based on ORS 192.660, where it says that executive sessions are permitted, but it says here, after the presiding officer has identified the authorization under 192.610 to 192.690 for holding the executive session. So that's not an interpretation, that's they're required to identify the authorization under which the executive session is being called, which is precisely what I did before we convened this session.
So may I address that just for a brief second?
Yes.
So you say that it's not an interpretation, but of course my reading of that provision of the statute is that the presiding officer can identify the authorization under the statute by identifying it in substance. For instance, You can comply with the statute by saying we are going into executive session to receive attorney-client privilege advice, and that does, under my reading of the statute, and I believe a fair reading of the statute, identify in substance the authorization under the statute for holding the executive session. By the way, I would draw a contrast with another provision of the statute, which if you look up in the statute at ORS 192.640, it spells out what needs to go in the meeting notice, where you're having a meeting that's only about executive session. The entire meeting is an executive session and nothing else. I'm just trying to find the relevant language here. Yes, so this statute says that the meeting notice must, quote, state the specific provision of law authorizing the executive session. So I would draw the commission's attention to the differences in wording there, that in 192.640, there actually is specific language that says you have to state the specific provision of law. That kind of particularized wording does not appear in 192.660. In 192.660, it is enough that the presiding officer simply identify the authorization under the statute, which again, we believe that Judge Lucero did by saying in substance the basis for going into executive session.
Okay. All right. And before we move on to Ms. Matthews, I would like to ask our counsel, Emily Matizar, what is her feedback in regard to Mr. Isaac's statements?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah. Okay. So my firm advises a lot of public bodies on, and governing bodies of a public body on, how to convene an executive session. And our advice is to cite the exact statute, the specific provision, under ORS 192.610 to 192.690. Having said that, I think that the Board of Bar Examiners' reading of the statute is a fair one, and I unfortunately did not notice that argument in their letters received from the both the executive director of the Oregon State Bar and then the Board of Bar Examiners, but I do think that that is a fair reading of ORS 192.660.
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner O'Dea. I'd like to jump in when it's appropriate.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm going to raise my hand, so.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Costa. So, Mr. Isaac, just to be clear, I appreciate your argument. As I think you and others know, like Ms. Mazar has practiced municipal law for almost two decades now, so it's a area of the law with which I'm quite familiar. But alas, I'm not the commission's legal counsel, so it's just with that background that my questions are vague. So, Mr. Isaac, this particular executive session, what was the nature of the topic that justified?
So there are two bases. There are a couple of different meetings here and a couple of different executive sessions, but the bases for going into executive session were, in each case, either to receive attorney-client privilege counsel from our attorney-client privilege advice from our counsel Amber Hollister, or to discuss the content of records that are exempt from public inspection under 192.660(2)(f), and specifically, in order to apply that exemption, you need to cross-reference an exemption under the public records law, and there is a specific exemption under the public records law for records relating to administration of the bar exam.
So with that, first topic, to receive attorney-client confidential advice, my next question to Ms. Matizar. Under the provisions of the Oregon Meetings Law, is there a specific exemption that allows governing bodies to meet with their general counsel to receive legal advice? Does that exist?
I know that the You can do it through the public records law, provided that there's a document. There is an exemption. Let me see if anyone has a citation handy.
It's sub H.
H. Yes.
So you're right that sub H is the attorney-client privilege exemption, and you also can receive attorney-client privileged advice under the operative public records exemption.
So I don't have the statute in front of me. Ordinarily, we have a rule book in front of us. But is H limited to just litigation, or is that for any attorney-client advice?
It specifically says with regard to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed.
Right. So, I mean, bottom line with regard to my understanding of the law is that there is no general provision, although perhaps the legislature should create one, that allows the governing body to meet the executive session to just receive a verbal attorney-client privilege advice. Instead, it either requires a written document in which you're meeting under the provision subject to records that are exempt from disclosure, or it is for litigation that is likely to be filed or has been filed, but there is no generalized attorney-client relationship provision within the meetings law. At least that's my understanding, and I wanted to make sure that was accurate, as I think that this this case may turn on that much of a distinction.
Well,
there is a statute, I don't have it right in front of me, where it allows for us
Sean O'Day
is now exiting
to meet with legal counsel in order to review a legal document, which we did on this date, and I don't have that statute right in front of me.
Yeah, that's right. So in this instance, I don't think there's, like I said, the investigator is not quibbling with the fact that we entered into executive session for permissible purposes. And to be clear, we were discussing written documents in attorney-client privilege session, which would be exempt, which we are allowed to go into executive session for under 192.660, both F and H.
All right. Thank you.
The report did reflect that on page 8. In the executive session, it says that the basis was the ORS 192.3559A, which is the confidential document.
Okay. Thank you.
Exemption.
Appreciate it. Mr. Burson, you had your hand up.
Yeah, it seems to be this case keeps like kind of finding out the technicalities, but. But one of the things that I think Lisa tried to point out was that the statute that was being used here for the exemption, the 192.345 sub 4, is actually turned into 501 sub 4. And I think that the bar examiners was using this old statute that changed in 2017. So that's one thing. Again, I think the purpose of the commission is educational, and I think that we would say, okay, if you're going to look at an exemption, let's make sure that we have the current exemption that's out there. And then I think they've already talked about this, but they have kind of adopted the practice of using, the 192.660, whatever that subcategory that they're actually going into executive session for. So I think Misha was right that there's some technicalities here. I think Lisa was right that we're looking at technicalities. But, the purpose of this commission is to educate, and I think that we just want to make sure that we're given kind of the correct statute. So, again, I don't think we're quibbling over that they couldn't be in executive session for what they were in there for. It's just the citations to get in there that use the current statute for the exemption, and then name whatever reason, whether that be the 2F or 2H or whatever it is. So.
All right, thank you. And Commissioner Fiskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a quick comment. It's sort of at least half on point. Mr. Isaac, if I'm saying your name right, just for the record, I did want to indicate it might have been a problem with transmission, but as always is the case in my 3 years on the commission, the executive said the chair always cites the specific statute. In this case, Mr. Sosa did a few minutes ago, half hour ago or so, to consider preliminary review is pursuant to ORS 244.260 sub 4 sub D and ORS 192.685 sub 1. Without being defensive, that's our usual standard practice to be very specific in the actual statutory citations. For what it's worth, I feel better having said that. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I apologize if I didn't hear. Like I said, my audio was coming in and out, and I, of course, now regret having raised it at all.
Fair point. Thank you very much.
No offense taken, Mr. Isaac. Okay. So unless anyone has any more questions for Mr.
There was one other person that wanted to talk.
Yeah, I was going to move on to Ms. Matthews. Yep. So, all right. Ms. Matthews, go ahead.
And I apologize. I'm going to have to get off now. My docket needs to get started.
Thank you, Digital Sir. We appreciate you being here this morning.
Thank you.
Ms. Matthews, are you with us?
Well, I apologize. I had connected via my telephone for a better connection and then forgotten that. My name is Kendra Matthews. I am one of the two newest members of the Board of Bar Examiners, and I'm glad that you had that very substantive discussion with Mr. Isaac. My purpose or my desire in talking was really to get to very briefly the point that was made that the purpose of your work, or one of the purposes of your work, is education, and that as a line Board of Bar Examiners member, I really have taken the opportunity offered by this situation to become more educated. I think everybody, my perception of everybody on the Board of Bar Examiners is that they have done that as well, and that as you've heard, moving forward, we will, whether it's technically required by statute or not, we are always looking to embracing best practices, and we will be doing this, and that will prevent us from ever citing publicly the wrong statute, because we're going to be thoughtful about what we're doing. And so I just wanted to say that part of the reason you can have assurance that that's where the Board of Bar Examiners will move and move forward with intention is that, you know, I joined the bar last fall after a few years of grading bar exams, and there is a degree, I'm sure you have a very active docket and work for your board. This board does as well. It has only increased with the pandemic, and we, it's sort of going from grading to being on the board is moving from drinking from the hose to drinking from the fire hose. And I raised that issue only to say that one of the key factors for making the Board of Bar Examiners work is commitment to process. We engage in extensive training on key factors for high stakes testing. We focus on how to maintain calibration, make sure applicants have a fair shot no matter when their exam is being graded. We digest, we reflect, we move forward. But we do the same with our judicial docket, where we are always thinking of better ways and being open to critical thinking about better ways to ensure we are being fair in that process. And we, in fact, have completely amended those provisions to focus on the appropriate factors. And so it is a board that is committed to both process and doing things the right way and a fair way and an open way so that the citizens who are trying to be connected by future lawyers, the Oregon State Bar members who want to be sure that anyone joins their ranks is qualified to do so, and the applicants themselves know that we're engaging in a fair process and we care about that. And to that end, we have always been committed, as people have mentioned, to being very vocal and being very committed to both the spirit and the thought, the letter of the law, in terms of when we were in executive session, and never using the fact that there were no public members in a meeting to discuss something at a different time, say, oh, throw this over here, or throw that over there. We have been always explicit about moving in and out. And I just wanted to say that we care about this process, we care about the work you're doing, and we care about getting it right. So we will be moving forward adding staying explicitly on top of the requirements of this and not just the spirit to our constant training and updating the agenda. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Matthews. We appreciate it. Do any of the other respondents wish to add anything? Do any commissioners have any additional questions for any of the respondents? Okay. All right. Hearing none, then we'll move into the deliberation phase. Do any commissioners have any motions to make or any comments on the testimony?
Mr. Chair,
yes, Commissioner Fisker.
I have a quick question for our investigator, Ms. Kristen. Lisa, if you can refer to the conclusion you wrote on page 301, starting in line 24 through 28, can you just amplify for a moment on what you would do more than you've done to this point if we were to conduct an investigation?
Thank you. That's a great question. And here's part of the issue as I see it. We have three executive sessions. One was, as Mr. Isaac pointed out, convened for the purpose of attorney-client matters, let's say, in general. And we're not really 100% clear at this moment, because we're in preliminary review, what those matters were. As commission can see, even in the discussion that was had, there was some confusion over whether or not, as Commissioner O'Day pointed out, there's some confusion about whether or not we're talking about litigation or simply privileged material or communication. So that's one aspect. That was at the first executive session held as a media. The second and third, the second executive session convened at the May meeting and the full executive session convened at the April meeting, cited a statute that simply no longer exists. There was no citation of statutory basis under 196.60. There was a citation to an exemption, but again, the exemption was superseded over 3 years ago by 192.345, which is a current embodiment of that statute. So, to answer your question, because we're in preliminary review, and because we don't actually have citations to what was going to be discussed, we need to figure those things out before we can examine whether or not what was discussed was proper under what was cited, again, given that the citations were erroneous. I do agree that we're looking at a very, very statutory specific area of the code, but again, that is what we work within, in our position. So again, without having a 660 citation for any of those executive sessions, without having a proper exemption, if we were to assume that there was a proper 660 notification before convening executive session, we don't know exactly what exemption was being relied upon, because the two that were cited in the second May executive session and the sole April executive session simply don't exist anymore. Moreover, there wasn't any citation whatsoever to the first May executive session. We would gather more information, in short, and determine whether or not what was intended or implied was actually what was discussed in the session.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Kristen. Do any other commissioners have any questions or wish to make motions or want to discuss any of the testimony further?
Chair, so this is Commissioner Day.
Yes, Commissioner Day.
Step on my fellow commissioner, I'll hold.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Please go ahead, Commissioner Day. I defer.
Thank you. So I do want to start with by making a motion, and then I'll speak to it if that's okay.
Yes.
I'd like to move that the Oregon Government Ethics Commission do move to investigate whether respondent violated ORS 192.660. The reason why I'm making that motion is that first of all, I carry into this conversation a bit of experience with this statute. I do, in principle, agree with Mr. Isaac's proposition that the statutory citation requirement is not expressly required by the statute. It is an area that I know many governing bodies have gotten hung up on in the past, and it does seem like a bit of an overly technical read of the statute by this commission in the past, and I, for one, would like to see us break from that. But that being said, I do think that the intent of the statute, the spirit of the statute, is to appropriately apprise the public of what is to be discussed. And as my question and point earlier was, there is no statutory exemption to meet in executive session to receive attorney-client privileged information. Now, again, perhaps there should be, but that's a question for the legislature, not necessarily for us. Instead, the statute is narrowly designed to provide for a meeting to review records that are exempt from disclosure. That would be a proper means of noticing executive session, or to meet with legal counsel to discuss litigation that has been filed or is likely to be filed. Again, that is a legitimate basis under the statute. But simply announcing that you're meeting in executive session to talk with your attorney is not sufficient, unfortunately, under Oregon law. And it's for that reason that I think that the commission should move forward with the investigation. Part is to have this matter come back to us in an open session where we could fully address these questions and these issues a little bit further. And also because, in my mind, as technical and small as it is, I do think that there was a violation here with what the investigator found. And everybody said, ultimately, education is the goal. And as another state body, helping another state body succeed, I think the best way to do that is through an investigation and then having this come back to us in an open session. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Commissioner Burke.
I was going to say some of the things that Commissioner O'Day said, but I deferred to him because he is much more eloquent and detailed than I would be in saying such things. But the one thing I would say is that it seems to me that the respondents are all good public servants that clearly have no intention to do anything wrong. It looks like this is just a trip up over a technicality, but a technicality that we're required to enforce. And so I would support Commissioner O'Day's motion.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Fiscom.
Mr. Chair, I can be persuaded as well, as I'll show in a minute if we have a vote, to support Mr. O'Day's motion. A couple things before that. First, I want to compliment Ms. Kristen on the scope and depth of her work. I think she has put her finger on the exact issue before us, and with all due respect to her comment about more needing to be done, I would not argue with that except to say that I think she has put her finger on exactly the issue, technical though it may be, that compels us to deal with this today. Secondly, this is another example for me of the situation where, on the basis of an excellent preliminary review, I would like to be able, as a commissioner, to resolve this issue today rather than to move to an investigation, with all due respect to the investigation. And if we do move to investigation, the last thing to emphasize, Chair Sosa, is what you said earlier, which is doing so does not in any way constitute, quote, guilt, unquote. It only is a next step in a process before us outlined, in fact, in statute. All of that said, I can see my way clear to support Mr. O'Day's motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other commissioners want to add anything? Yes, Commissioner Mason.
One question that I had for Director Burson was, I wanted to know the primary reason why you and Ms. Alpha signed off on moving this to investigation. Was there a primary driver of that for us non-lawyers as part of the group?
Well, like you've seen me in the past, I mean, I think it's been discussed here that I believe there's technically a violation here, and so my recommendation is going to be to move forward, and I leave the deliberations up to you folks as being the commissioners. But I think once I find that there's a technical violation, that as the executive director, I really don't have that kind of wiggle room to kind of deliberate on this. That's really kind of your role. And so that's why I brought it to you the way I did, with the recommendation to move forward. As far as Ms. Alpaw goes, Ms. Alpaw is actually conflicted here. Actually, the Department of Justice is conflicted here, and that is why we have Emily on the line as an outside counsel. So Ms. Alpaw was not part of this deliberation. So she has no recommendation at all.
Thank you for that clarification. I just know it's a bold move to challenge a group of lawyers in this situation. I just wanted to get your perspective.
Okay.
If it was a primary reason, but I think Commissioner O'Day did a great explanation and supports his motion.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Mason. Did anyone else want to add anything? Any other commissioners? Okay. All right, hearing no further comments, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
For the record, Hollister has abstained. And Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion has passed. 7-0.
Okay. Thank you to all of the respondents who have been on the line with us. We really appreciate you being here. We really appreciate
just,
your
comments. I believe it's 6-0
with one of
six
them.
Zero.
Oh, whoops, sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just to be fair.
Again, thank you to all the respondents who have been on the line with us. We very much appreciate you being here. We very much appreciate the comments and the feedback. Our investigator and staff will be in touch with you as we move on to the next phase of the case. So thank you all very much. Hope you have a pleasant day, and you can go ahead and log off at this point. And thank you to Ms. Matazar as well.
With all the highlighters.
I'm sorry. No, don't apologize. No, it's entirely appropriate. I just put this down to talk for a minute, but I forgot to put it back up. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I was really happy with
it. Okay.
Somehow. Oh, yeah. It works. Yeah.
It works. That's on him. We didn't.
No, I'm him. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So, for fellow commissioners, we are going to go through now and call the cases for people who are waiting to testify. So we're going to start with 34. Item 34 in the executive session. This is Raymond Doherty. So our staff has reached out to Mr. Doherty. We're just waiting for him to join us here, and then we can proceed on. So item 34 is the next on our calendar here.
I've ever got one case gun where I got to put as much chip on. Have you ever had a case that had 14?
No.
That's a lot.
I'm smiling, just so you know.
Didn't we need to go through the roll call for each individual case?
For what?
On the Board of Bar Examiners.
They're just going
to... We didn't need to do it for each individual case?
They agreed the attorney not. We had did not... Okay. Advise us of that. I know in the past that we have voted on all of them at one time, but
yeah, okay.
I know our current attorney would prefer a different.
So we're back with Amy now.
We're back to Amy. She can yell at me now. All over.
And they did agree to all be heard at the same time, so I think we're good.
Mr. Doherty.
Mr. Chair, that's a Susan's question. Ms. Meyer's question is a good one. Did they all agree to be heard at the same time, and does that mean we can act on them all at once, or do we have to act individually? And I don't care what the answer is. I'm just curious.
Okay,
you know, the hearing is one thing, the action is another.
Yeah.
Sean's motion was to move the cases forward, and so
right.
that was the motion before you.
Yeah.
That's what I understand it to be.
Yep.
So I'm fine with that as long as we're fine with that legally.
Yep.
Thank
you. That was the motion. So.
Thank you.
Sorry to stir the pot.
Okay. I'm just waiting on Mr. Doherty.
Well, maybe we can go on.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you want, we can also get reach out to the next one, 55 Reed Campbell, and whichever one of them appears first, we'll go ahead and move forward with that one. The other one can come in a lobby.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You just have the one on
my desk.
That's